He reminds him again of that command, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. In chapter 3, those commands continue. He says in verse 1, put them in mind, meaning put the believers in mind to manifest certain attitudes. If you skip down to verse 8, the last sentence, he says, these things, the first clause, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that you affirm constantly, that you keep repeating these things, because they're good. So, you see that the second chapter and the first paragraph of the third chapter are relative to specific things that Paul wants Titus to emphasize in his ministry on the island of Crete. Well, we who believe the Bible to be God's, the revelation of God's mind to us, we believe that in those historical circumstances that the New Testament was written, there are certain principles, there are certain commands that are very applicable to us and reveal the mind of God to us. Well, what I want to concentrate on today is verses 1 and 2 of that chapter. I'd like to lead in a word of prayer before we begin that specific study. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity again to share your word together. We pray that our minds will be open and accessible to the things that your Spirit has for each one. In Christ's name, amen. I'd like to show you, first of all, the construction of this this paragraph. It begins with a command. And the command is this, put them in mind. If we were to translate that literally, since that's a present imperative, it would be this, keep reminding them. Keep reminding them. Now them, of course, in the primary meaning of the passage, would be the believers on the island of Crete. It's very applicable to us, of course, today. And this command is a present active imperative. It's the verb hupa menesco or menesco. We're looking at menesco, it's menesca, which is the imperative form. HUPOMINENESKE. And this is a present active imperative. Now, this present tense, of course, emphasizes that Titus and those who follow him, those who teach the Word of God, will have to do this somewhat repeatedly. They'll have to remind believers of what Paul has involved here. But when you remind somebody of something, this means to bring to mind in the sense of a repetition. Again, they already know this. So when you remind somebody of something, you make them mind again what they already know. So in other words, you're repeating somewhat. And you have to keep on doing it. The active voice, when given with an imperative mode like this, means that the person who is commanded will have to be actively involved in what Paul's saying. In other words, the person is apt to forget, and he will be culpable if it is. And the imperative mode is the mode of command. Okay. Well, that's interesting, because it sort of it implies that one of the purposes of coming together in assembly, when believers come together, one of the purposes is to be reminded of the things of the Lord. And it may be certain things that we already know, you see. And there's a need for that, is the idea of Paul bringing this up. Now, what does he want them to be reminded of? What specifically is Titus and those that follow him to keep reminding the believers of? Well, there are five infinitives that follow that indicate what he has in mind. So we could say something like this. Five things that need to be repeated. to the believers in this passage. And these are identifiable by five infinitive clauses. If you're interested in the grammatical construction of the Greek languages, these five infinitive clauses would be considered to be imperatives. So these would be five infinitive clauses of command. In other words, when the teacher, the Bible teacher, speaks relative to these five things that Paul once repeated, he should inform the believers that they were commands from the Apostle Paul or from God through Paul. All right, the ones that I really want to focus on are number one and two, but I'm going to try to go through the whole five, okay? And then come back maybe to number one and two. Okay, number one. King James says, keep reminding them to be subject to principalities and powers. Now, one of the hidden grammatical points that you can't see in English is that this verb is in the middle voice. And it's normally in the middle voice, interestingly enough, in the New Testament. This verb, be subject, okay? Now, essentially, if we were just to say what the clause is teaching, we would say that believers are to be subject for themselves. Now is how we would translate the little voice into English. Believers are to be subject for themselves to rulers and authorities. Now he has in mind most likely here civil rulers and authorities. In other words, those who represent the state are to be given respect and obedience. If I show you this verb, perhaps it will help. See, this will be one of the infinitives, one of these five infinitives that completes this this concept in this verse. This is the word hypotassasthai. It's hypotassasthai. And that's a present middle infinitive. As we said, the middle voice means that you are intensively interested in the results of the action. It's like a batter standing at the plate waiting for the pitch. He's going to hit the ball for himself. In Greek, that would always be expressed in the voice because he's very interested in the action and the results of it, you see. If you're a woman and you're going to buy a dress, that would always be expressed in the middle voice unless you're a very passive woman. And the woman's never passive when she's going to buy a dress. She's always actively involved in the results of the action. Well, the source of this verb is hupotasso. Now, where have we seen that hupotasso before? Consistently. Anybody remember? I've wondered if it paid to put these Greek words up here. Being more and more convinced all the time, it doesn't. Anybody know where we've seen this before? Consistently, always. Well, I'll show it to you in just a minute. This word is a military term of responsive order. A military term of responsive order. It means to arrange under. It means the concept of rank in the military. It comes to mean then to be obedient. To be actively obedient, maybe I should say. It's one thing to be passively obedient. It's one thing, I guess, yeah. You know, like the little kid that says, I'm sitting down in my body, but I'm standing up in my mind. Hupotasso doesn't mean that. It means responsibly obedient. Now where have we seen it? Chapter 2, we had it, right? Where else? Consistently. What relationship? What human relationship? Man and wife, yeah. Wives to husbands. Always. It's the word. You will find it used that way in Ephesians chapter 5:22. You will find it used relative to wives in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. And so on. Always, when the husband and wife relationship in terms of authority is in view, find in 1 Corinthians, I think, 11. Maybe not there. You will have this military term. What does that mean in terms of a wife-husband? Well, we see that to mean that she is to be actively, responsively obedient to her husband. Okay. Now, what is that in essence? In essence, that is a mental attitude, you see. So what Paul is saying when he says, be subject, he is saying, see to it that they have a mental attitude of responsive submission to civil rulers. Okay? So the emphasis here is on a mental attitude. A mental attitude toward civil rulers. We think in our mind. We do not think like active revolutionaries would be the idea. Any questions about that word? Or that statement? Now he's going to follow that by a command that sort of manifests that. Another infinitive now. See the second one? King James says to obey magistrates. Now really, that's all one word in Greek. But you notice how the King James, you catch the infinitives there. Well, we catch the infinitive in the other one. To be subject would be an infinitive. To obey, yeah, okay, we can catch it. The idea would be if we were to express the teaching, it would be believers are to actively obey those in authority. And as I said, this is again just simply one word. Peitharchein. This is the infinitive. P-E-I-T-H-A-R-C-H-E-R-N. That comes from two words. It comes from the word, in this case, a middle form of pytho. Pythomen, or pythomai. Pythomai literally would mean to be persuaded. So in this kind of obedience, there is a concept of responsiveness in the mind and a persuasion. You come to a persuasion. Hence it comes to mean to obey or to trust, and then hence to obey. So involved in this obedience that is expressed here is not simply a blind obedience, a culpable type of obedience, as though civil rulers could not err. And when they do err, that we should continue to follow them. That is not the concept. The concept is that that of persuasion to the point of trust, to the point of obedience, there's a relationship. Thayer points this out, Vine points it out, Martin Gingrich points it out. There's a relationship between this verb pytho and pistoa, the verb that says, that indicates belief. The second word that's joined here to this verb is a noun, arche. And arche means authorities, rulers, and so on. The issue, of course, is to what degree do believers actively obey and submit themselves to civil rulers? Let's say the civil rulers give ends, or let's say you lived in South Vietnam under or Cambodia right now. What should be the Christian's attitude towards civil rulers? Suppose that were to happen in the United States, what would be our attitudes? Well, those are things that I want to talk about and dwell on, but I want to finish these five infinitives before we do that, okay? Okay, the third infinitive. King James says to be ready. By the way, this second point, the first point we said was a relationship, a mental attitude. The emphasis in point two, or point one, was a mental attitude toward those in authority, civil rulers. The second one would have to do with overt response. Overt response to objective law. Okay. The third infinitive. King James says to be ready for every good work. Now the infinitive here is the infinitive on there, which means it is the essence verb. So it has a predicate adjective afterwards. So we would have to say here, believers are to see to it. But in essence, they are prepared, ready toward every type of divine good. This would have to do with our production. Infinitive itself is the infinitive I. Y-N-E-I. And this is a present active infinitive of I mean. Now that's followed by that word prepared, see, which would be a predicate adjective. And a predicate adjective describes what the subject is to be, ready. Prepared, a state of readiness in the mind. You're ready to produce when the opportunity comes. You can step in and you have in yourself the qualities to function with that whatever is you're called upon to do in the production of divine good. No, that has to do with social relationships in the human life. Whereas the first two have to do with government. And now these other three have to do with our social relationships in the human race. See how to speak evil of no man, not to be brawlers, but to be gentle ones, showing all meekness unto all men. See, first two have to do with government and our attitudes toward government. The third, the last three have to do with our relationship to society and other members of the human race. Yes?
Well, it's a matter of control by the Holy Spirit. How do you get ready?
Well, if we see, it's one thing to say, it would be one thing, a believer can always use an escape mechanism about control of the Holy Spirit, as though that doesn't prepare him for anything. If we are under the control of the Holy Spirit, it has direction. It's not just a highfalutin idea, is what I'm saying. So that is going to lead here to the production of divine good. But that's just a highfalutin idea, too, when it's simply expressed that way. Anybody could say that, see. But this has, both of these concepts have involved in them some very practical implementations of how this will come to pass. As per a doctrine, which is truth, which means that the moment will come when you can share a meaningful doctrine or a meaningful truth in the production of divine good to other members of the human race. It will be something that will meet their need at that moment. If you do not know this, you most likely have not had too much of this. The concept of love expression. Which will meet somebody's need. If you do not have this, you probably have not had too much of this. The concept of now love expression can come many ways. You may have a neighbor that's in a need, and you discover his need, and you try to help meet that need. Maybe they may need food. You may help them with some food or something to that effect. It may be simply just a sympathy or an empathy with them, something to that effect. See, so this admits to a lot of things. Okay? In other words, control of the Holy Spirit is going to express itself somehow overtly. You can just, and you look at the life of Jesus and you find that everywhere, you see.
But to be prepared means to walk
with God. Yeah. What it would imply in understanding the rest of the New Testament, it would imply this, but the emphasis here is on this. Always in the Pauline letters, whenever you have good works expressed, and you have it everywhere, of course, it's going to be repeated in this paragraph probably three times. It implies this.
I can see how to be prepared by studying doctrine. I don't see how to be prepared by the love expression except through control. The more time you've been in control, the more likely it'll happen.
Well, I think there's a certain preparation that has to go on in the mind of the believer before he will be sensitive toward this love expression. I know many believers who claim this, but who are very insensitive to this. Something has to be wrong there. Yes. Where do they put the willing with the?
Prepared and willing to do any upright and honorable work.
Yeah, that's involved in it. The word that's used as the adjective, the other to be. And then you have this word ready. This really means prepared. It's etoimos. Etoimos, H-E-T-O-I-M-O-S. Well, there had to be a willingness factor for this to happen. But this is more somewhat objective than it is so much subjective, see. It's more objective. Yeah. Okay. Well, the concept of this is expressed in the statement, can I quote it now? Do good. Paul says, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Am I quoting Paul? Is that correct? Am I remembering that statement? I think that's Paul. Same idea. You have to be able to define what is good and what the manifestations of that would be. So the idea has all kind of implications. It may be the reaffirmation of truth. It may be some objective type of doing of good, of sharing, of something in effect. The next infinitive, the fourth one. King James says to speak evil of the man. The word is really literally blaspheme. So believers are not to rail against any man. The ob- object of this railing, this word is blasphemy, see? And blaspheme means to beat upon with words. This is a probably verbal hostility at its worst. Now, blasphemy does not only manifest itself toward God, it can manifest itself, of course, toward members of the human race. And what do we do when we blaspheme? We find an object of hostility and we beat upon that hostility with our words. We rail against that person. Rail is an old English word that means we really chop them down. We cut them up with our tongue. That should not be a believer should not be characterized by that mental attitude. That does not mean that let's say he's been ripped off in, there are no car dealers here. Let's say he's been ripped off by a car dealer. He bought this car, it was guaranteed, and he lifted the hood up, this second-hand car, and man, the engine was just spotlessly clean. That's because they just ran it through the steam machine. And really, it's leaking oil, and the valves are bad, and it's got a rod that's about to throw. And then he drives it for 200 miles, and he notices the front wheels are wearing incredibly on one side. He didn't know that when he bought it, but the ball joints are bad. The shocks are bad, and he spends $300, you know, on that. And then he drains the oil, and he finds there's, you know, 50 weight oil in there. Keep it quiet. Well, it doesn't mean that he doesn't objectively weigh these things realistically, and he says, I got ripped off by that car dealer. It's the idea that thing that happened so obsesses him and possesses him that for 3 weeks that's all his wife hears about, or that's all that anybody has to listen to him hears about. Everybody at work has to hear him rail against this SOB who ripped him off, you see. And he just pounds him and pounds him and pounds him. Okay? So again, you see, you have another mental attitude that's going to reflect itself in an objective verbal display of mental attitude sin that becomes objective overt sin. The fifth infinitive, and actually you see you could probably find six. To be no brawlers. Now that means believers are not to be characterized by physical violence, fisticuffs. You know, they always have a chip on their shoulder, and they're trying to see if somebody's going to knock it off. And the minute that happens, that they think somebody knocks it off, they're ready to fight. Okay? The opposite of that would be, see, a gentle. So if you put the infinitive that was combined with this characteristic with the next one, then you'd have six infinitives. The opposite of this would be, but gentle. Okay? But that has to be an attitude. And he says how that attitude will manifest itself. By showing. By manifesting. Weakness to all men. Now weakness is the opposite of pride, arrogance, pride, what else? Haughtiness. Now, probably the best manifestation of meekness in the Bible is the attitude of our Lord. He was not always parading himself before men. So what we have, actually, we have three, we have five infinitives that completes the command. And Titus